Well, when I was up here before talking about horseradish, I did kind of talk about another important specialty crop that's grown in Illinois, which are pumpkins. There's over 30,000 acres of pumpkins grown in Illinois, and we've been doing research on pumpkins ever since I got to SIU in 1998. So we wanted to kind of see what the advantages of using some of these different pre-emergent herbicides were in no-till pumpkin production, and why no-till pumpkins. So when I first got to Illinois, there was not a lot of no-till pumpkins being grown. So we've really been trying to use it and go through and get growers to really start to use and develop no-till pumpkins, because there's a lot of advantages of using no-till pumpkin production. And according to one of my colleagues in Extension now, we're up to about 40% or so of the pumpkins in Illinois are no-till pumpkins from some of the research that we primarily focus on and been trying to promote over that period of time. And one of the main issues we have is with weed control. So a lot of growers are really interested. So when I first got to SIU, I had growers come up and I said, what are some of your problems? They said, well, we'd like to start using no-till in some of the areas, because if you've ever been in southern Illinois, it's kind of a hilly region. You know, a lot of erosion has happened over the years, and they want to kind of go and more to use more conservation tillage practices. You can get into a field if it really rains. You can go into the field if you're in agritourism. You can have your customers go out in the field, no issues. If it rains and you're in a tilled field, it makes it much more difficult. Preserve soil moisture conditions, especially we get some dry periods this time of the year. We like to really have that moisture in the soil, and it makes a big difference. It really does. And one of the other major advantages is cleaner pumpkins. If taking a pumpkin off of straw compared to a pumpkin off of tilled soil, you have that pad of soil on that pumpkin. It has to be clean. Growers don't have to really go about and clean their pumpkins if they come out of a no-till production field, and input expenses are less. You get a little bit better weed control. We're going to talk about that a little bit. You get some nitrogen that can be produced if you use a legume cover crop. You get less soil loss compared to tilled fields, especially during simulated rain events and things that I've read through papers. Yields are about the same. And that's why we can use pumpkins in no-till. Pumpkins are like an agronomic crop, basically, is how they grow pumpkins. And large fields, minimal amount of inputs, and trying to reduce that input cost, and they yields are pretty much the same. It doesn't happen with a lot of other crops, but in pumpkins it is. And yield advantage seems to be related more to like the higher soil moisture content in the soil during drought periods and getting that weed control. And also building that soil organic matter content is also important for all the microbes in the soil. We get that nutrient cycling going in the soil, increase water infiltration during rain events. We're not exposing new weed seed to the top portions of the soil with tillage, decreasing erosion, better soil structure. There's a lot of long-term benefits that we get in no-till pumpkin production, and I just kind of wanted to kind of talk to you guys a little bit about no-till pumpkin production in the Midwest. But the major issue is weed management, and we saw this from the beginning. There are a major issue in no-till pumpkin production. Why? We just don't have the herbicides to deal with all the weeds that we see out in our fields. So we have to kind of develop more of a management system. We got to manage the residues. We got to have a good crop rotation. We got to understand cover cropping systems. It's going to be different than what we see in conventional tilled fields. What are the cover crops that you're going to use? How are you going to utilize those? When are they going to be planted? What's the planting rates going to be? What's the mix going to be? And how are you going to manage this? How are you going to kill them before you do that? So The major focus here today is on weed management, and this is one of our early fields we had. This is in the early 2000s at our Belleville Research Center, which is outside St. Louis, and I like that station up there because it's great soils, and it's more like an agronomic cropping center, so you can see with very little weed management what kind of issues you get in no-till pumpkins. That's why we always want to kind of start clean, use some type of cover crop system, and use herbicides very wisely. And what can we use? For burn down, before we go in there and plant our pumpkins, we're going to use gramoxone or glyphosate, and residuals, which are mostly prees like Dual, Sandia, Strategy, Reflex, Fomofosin. Fomofosin has a 24C label in Illinois now. And post-emergence, Sandia and some grass herbicides. And there are some post-directed herbicides as well as hand weeding, which we don't want to do because it costs too much, but some growers still have to do it. So there's really limited options we have available for weed control. And pumpkin productivity is related to weed control. If you don't have weed control, you don't have pumpkins, as I showed in that photo. So we want to use herbicides in combination with cover crop residues and help us in this weed management issue that we have to deal with. And I have some issues here. You got to have that thick, evenly distributed mulch over the soil. You're going to have to use herbicides. Herbicides, even though you have a thick residue, you're going to have to use herbicides. They're going to come through. Pre and a few post-herbicides are available, and sparse or unevenly distributed cover crop residues are going to lead to high weed densities, and you're going to have issues with that. So we conducted a study primarily to look at what is the value in dollars, right? What's the value in dollars applying these pre-emergent herbicides in pumpkins? And you're going to see there's a big difference, big difference. So this was conducted at our Southern Illinois Belleville Research Center, which is outside of St. Louis, just about 25 miles east of St. Louis. In 2009-2010, we used 6 pre-emergent herbicide treatments at the time. These were the main ones, and most of them are still utilized today. Metolachlor, clomazone, and ethylfluorolin, which is Strategy, and then the mix of metolachlor and clomazone and ethylfluorolin, clomazone, ethylfluorolin, halosulfuron, which is Sandia, and then metolachlor, or Dual, and halosulfuron. So we use a randomized complete block, 3 reps. Magic lantern was planted prior to pre-treatments, and this was following wheat that was seeded in autumn and then harvested in spring. And the weed species that we had here were common water hemp, red root pigweed, giant foxtail, and large crabgrass. Now, that field in this period of time has totally changed. It's cockle burr and morning glory now. So you can't find any of those weeds out there. It's kind of transitioned within that period of time so fast. So this is in the spring, our wheat that was drilled starting to kind of come out. So economic return on investment. This is how we calculated it. Treated yield minus non-treated yield by dollars per kilogram minus your treatment cost for your herbicides, right? So this is what my buddy Brian Young, if you know Brian Young out of Purdue, who was at SIU for a long time, we did a lot of weed research together, and this is from his work. So economic return on investment, your investment, right? Okay, now, so we can give you an idea of a herbicide cost, right, that we have. So Strategy gives the rate there. It's going to cost about $222 per hectare. Sandia, at the rate we use, is going to cost about $71. Metolachlor is going to cost us about $50 or so per hectare. And if when we combine metolachlor and halosulfuron, we're going to about $120. And Strategy and halosulfuron is kind of expensive because it's almost $300 per acre. And it's because of Strategy that's in there. It's kind of expensive to use that one in there. So Now, if we look at the results we got, so look at its the effect of these pre-emergent treatments on the densities, weed control, and plant injury at 56 days. We have broadleaf weeds across the top, grass weeds, and then plant injury at the end. And basically, in 2009, we see that Metalichlor and Strategy was our best treatment. And very similar to Metalichlor alone there. All right. Now, if we look at 2010, we see Metalichlor kind of do a little bit better than it did in 2009, but we still see those two treatments that are kind of giving our best results for broadleaf weed control, grass weed control, the densities that are there, as well as the amount of plant injury that we are getting. And if we look at specific pumpkin yield characteristics in 2009, like pumpkin fruit number per hectare, pumpkin fruit weight, pumpkin fruit size, fruit diameter, fruit number per plant. Again, those two treatments are the ones that kind of shake out to be the best treatments to kind of give us those better characteristics for pumpkins in 2009. And again, pretty much the same thing for 2010. Even I have to show them between those 2 years because there was interactions going on. So that's why we kind of separated those 2 years, kind of pretty much the same. So this is the one we really want to look at, though. We'll spend a little time on this one. This is the effect of those pre-emergent herbicides on economic returns on investment in 2009 and 2010. So if we look at 2009 and 2010, they're in those top right columns. We're looking at 20 cents per pound and 40 cents per pound. Metalichlor and Strategy did much better compared to everything else, with Metalichlor being that second level, just using Dual by itself being that second level. And you can see the economic return on investment for those two herbicides being mixed together is by far better than anything else down there. We're looking at like at 40 cents per pound, $16,730, compared to if we go down to the bottom where you're using like those with halosulfuron, you're getting like $3,900 return on investment. So the return on investment is much higher when you're using those herbicides as a pre. And now we have fomofosin in this thing, which really can kind of change that even more. So what did we see? We saw that herbicide mixtures containing Dual or added with Strategy had the greatest consistency over those 2 years for weed control, high fruit yields, and the best economic return on investment. Those other herbicide mixtures we had in there resulted in poor weed control, low fruit yields, or low economic return on investment. And I list those out there on the bottom. So we haven't had Dual for very long. So when we did this study, Dual was just kind of getting labeled on pumpkins in Illinois. And Strategy had been out there for a while, but everybody's still kind of afraid of using Strategy with Clomazone. Everyone always thought that Clomazone would kind of make lighter pumpkins and we'd have issues with that. But Strategy is still being used in the state, but Dual is much better. So I wanted to show you how that weed control is a very important part of pumpkin production systems. Metalichlor tank mix with Strategy provide the greatest economic return on herbicide investment. Treatments with halosulfuron did not benefit from their application. Even though we had grasses out there, they really didn't provide that much of a benefit. Those other pre's were probably picking up a lot of those grasses. Now we have fomofosin labeled as a pre, which is a really good herbicide and offers pre-emergent management of difficult weeds, such as those glyphosate-resistant weeds that have come about, like Palmer and ALS-resistant pigweed and other grasses and sedges. So fomapacin is kind of a game changer in Illinois for pumpkins because it is a really good herbicide. And it's related to what has a different side of action compared to dual, so we're kind of doing a good job in trying to control those the weeds. So I have time for a question. One question.
One quick question. Adam, you ever seen any issues with injury reflex breeding on pumpkins?
I've never seen it.
That's good. Because it's pretty sporadic on some other crops. I know.
Yeah, but on pumpkins, we haven't seen it. Transplant it. We transplant some pumpkins. We put the prefix
that
down.
That's good.
And
you get a just prone rain on reflex in cotton, for example, and it looks like the worst case.
Yeah. Yeah. All that cupping there. Yeah. So, but I was really surprised when we started working with prefix to see that effect on pumpkins. This is a game changer. I mean, it's a really good herb. You know, it's a really good herb. It's much better than these others up here for a lot. Yeah.
So I wanted to comment on your other talk, but I didn't have time.
Yeah.
You know, these products, the total forward is registered in the 70s, so it's not a new herbicide.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make the point that the ag chem industry is not going to save. I work exclusively in vegetables. They're not going to save us. We've got to create our own technologies. Palmer amaranth is a native weed in California, yet it's not a major issue. It's because we have a diverse weed system. I can weed lettuce with a robotic cultivator for $120 an acre. There are solutions out there. There are people in Urbana working on teams of robots to weed fields. That's the future for vegetables.
Herbicides or not, I agree with you. We have to have a more integrated system. We've relied on herbicides and tried to deal with herbicides, but the chemical companies are not on our side.
And they're never going to
be.
<It's>
they never have been. So it's just kind of.
So why do we pretend that they're going to solve our problems?
That's what growers are used to in the Midwest. They're used to controlling weeds and corn and soybean systems. And most of the growers that are specialty crop growers, at some time in their life, they have used herbicides on corn and soybeans, so it's just kind of inbred in their minds. And I tell them, I said, Palmer, herbicides are not going to solve your problem, right? Because you're going to have to develop other systems in there. And I have a colleague at U of I who's working on some of the stuff that you're talking about with getting rid of Palmer out of the horseradish. So there's some major things that we have to think about for the long-term sustainability of vegetable crops. So,
thank you very much.
All right, thank you.